Our Heavenly Father, again, we come to you and open this precious book, the Word of God, and we ask for the anointing that's needed to teach it. We pray that we spent the necessary time as far as studying this week and weeks before on this message. And dear Father, we thank you for this book that we have. Everything we know about you comes from this book. We thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that you gave us the day we were saved so we could understand that which you have inspired to be written to those who gave the authority. Dear Father, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, for us to know what we know in this book. And today we ask that you let us present it in a way that hearts could receive it. Will not saved be saved. Those who are saved draw closer to you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And I'm going to read one verse from each one of these churches. You know, notice in chapter 2, 3 and 4, we're talking about the seven churches of Asia Minor. I'm going to read what God told each one of these churches, one verse, and then you'll have the title of the message. Now, I'm not going into the detail of what he said to these churches. Each individual church he said something to. And I said this morning, this week, as I finalizing this, that I was going to have a little bit of commercial today. I don't do commercials much, but since I wrote this book, I want to do a little commercial. If you don't have the book of the Seven Churches of Asia Minor, you can get it in our bookstore. And I was telling the brother this morning, Dr. Sykes wrote the introduction to this, Blessed. He gave away on his radio program for a year as a gift. And you can go into detail, not only see the names of the churches, where they're geographically located, but also the spiritual side of those as you look at the dispensation of grace and these churches coming into representing a period of time of faith at that time. So here in Ephesians chapter 2, if you look with me down in verse 7, the Holy Spirit said, as we see Jesus is speaking and giving account of what he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Notice, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Now, he said that to Ephesus, and there's a certain characteristic about Ephesus. Then we move on down and see in Smyrna, if you look with me, in verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Again, he gives some situation about that church, pointing to the future, I think, about the church age. And he said, those who hear, let them hear. If they hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And when you get down also to the next one that in Pergamos, and you see in verse 17, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. At Thyatira, if you look in verse 29, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. If you also look at Sardis in verse 6, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. He said at Philadelphia, when you look in verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And when you look at the Laodicean age, the last church age, in verse 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now you tell me what my subject's going to be. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know, we're living in an unusual age today. Sometimes people block out what they don't want to hear. It's done that way. And it kind of starts in the teenage years. And then it kind of migrates over into the marriages. And we know exactly when to do that. Like a little boy was on his bicycle riding out from the church. The church was trying to, the priest of the church was trying to get that little boy to get a little attention about being in church. And he didn't have much concern about it. One day he stopped on the bicycle right in front of the church. And he said, son, he said, how about you coming into the church? I mean, I'd like to talk to you a few minutes. He said, sir, I would. But I have to leave my bicycle out here and someone may steal it. He said, don't worry about it. The priest said, he said, the Holy Spirit will look after that bicycle. He said, he will. He said, sure will. He said, come on in. He took him in and he went through a ritual about what he should be doing and so forth. And he's going to teach him how to pray. And he taught him to pray when he pray in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And amen. And he said, how about you praying? And the little boy prayed a little prayer. And he said, in the Father and the Son. And the priest said, well, what about the Holy Spirit? And he said, he's not here. He said, why not? He said, he's looking at my bicycle on the outside. Well, there's things they said at the time. We know that's a joke and so forth. But the Holy Spirit's no joke. None at all. Another person, lady, was at a post office getting some stamps one day to mail some of her postcards off. And she went in and she said, please, I'd like to have some stamps. And the clerk at the post office said, "Well, what denomination you'd like to have?" And she said, "Denomination? For heaven's sake." She said, "Has it got to that?" He said, "Well, you don't tell me what denomination they have. You want?" She said, "No way in the world I know what to give you." And she said, "Well, you've got to know then. I want 50 Baptists and 50 Methodists." That's what I mean. Well, sometimes people misrepresent, don't they? But the Holy Spirit is not misrepresenting what God is saying to these churches. And I want to just take a few minutes and go through, because John's revelation gives us a spiritual side of listening. And God wants it. By the way, if we don't listen, maybe someone who's teaching the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, or when you're studying the Word of God and the Holy Spirit speaking to you, if you don't listen with a spiritual atmosphere there, you won't get much, and you can't have the spiritual atmosphere you need in studying the Bible without the Holy Spirit of God, and you can't have Him without being born into the family of God. It's the gift that God gives you and I when we get saved. And so to what the Spirit said to the churches, to have a spiritual ear to hear what God has to say, ye must be born again. So when I talk about what the Spirit said to these churches today, I want you to know some things about our time. There are some things, credit to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit's nowhere close to it, and yet there's hundreds and hundreds of people who think He is. They don't even know what the Holy Spirit's job is here. Now, I know He dwells in us, but He don't dwell in us to build us up. He dwells in us to help us build Jesus Christ up. And we're going to see that as we go through. I only have 2 points, and they're pretty long points. First of all, did you know that churches today could be run in their activities without the leadership of the Holy Spirit if you just wanted to have an organization like a church? In fact, we have a lot of those in our particular day. They can have a pastor and have a board and a choir and a Sunday school going on and a ladies' aid group and everything else. And these are good in the organizations of a church to do a lot of things for the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. And they may be needed to some degree in the organization. But I want you to know, I'm concerned about getting all those things that they say you need for a church and think of those things that's all you need to know, because they think that is what the church is. And all you need in the church is those things. And we saw last Wednesday night where one of the reports that came out said in our day, over a 2-year period of checking preachers, that 90% of the preachers said they knew the Bible had, that they checked out of 100, knew the Bible had the instructions for our day in any way, but only 80% of, only 10% of that 90% said that they actually presented, because 80% of the preachers said they didn't preach what the Scripture had to say. So you know good and well, you leave this word out from God's assembly, and you don't have the church. God's not even going to have anything to do unless He's trying to win those people to the Lord somehow or another when the gospel is given to them. And so I'm concerned about getting all these things and then think that these things are what you have to have as far as the church and not have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be absent and the pastor can keep turning the old crank. Now, I don't know if you happen to come along years ago. Probably a lot in here don't. Some of you may remember the years ago you didn't have a starter to hit when you cranked the car. You had a crank. And you had to get out of the car, too, to crank it. You had to go to the front of it, old Model T. I remember it. You remember, I bet Brother Offer remember that. Do you, brother? You're not that old, are you, brother? I know, yes, he's older than I am. And so you take that crank, boy, and you had to do this to it. Anybody remember that? Dr. Gilbert, you remember it, don't you, brother? Amen. You had to do this to it, and you had to be careful. If you didn't do it just right, it'd kick back at you. Well, sometimes when you think about the way things are going today, the Holy Spirit can be absent from a meeting, and the pastor can be turning the old crank, and the old clunk of religion never cranks. And in those days, you had to have the spark right and the gas right and get the turn just right. Well, there's a lot of places going nowadays turning the crank of religion, and nothing is happening, but it seems on the surface it is. I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit's not going to be around any group long without presenting Jesus Christ, who He is. And if you and I are saved and want to present Him, He's going to burden our heart to present Him to somebody too. Because we understand we're not saved unless we hear about Him. There's another name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. So if you had everything that this old world had to offer in a church and not the presence of the Holy Spirit, you don't have anything worthwhile to God. Because it's God who's decreed that the Holy Spirit will be the one who works through you and I to try to reach the people this side of eternity. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, you remember what God said, "Not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." If you look in Zechariah chapter 12 and down about verse 10, you find that he made this statement, chapter 12 and verse 10. I take a little time to find it in the Old Testament. I'm like you. I didn't have to look to the index, though. Are you looking at the index? If you are looking at the index, I can give you the page. Now, I won't write. Now, he says in verse 10, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me in whom they have pierced. God said, I'm going to spirit pour out. That means abundant. When you pour something out, it's abundant. It's not sprinkling. It's abundance. And he said, I'm going to pour out an abundance to you when it comes to the nation of the spirit of grace and supplication. And so to deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ brings spiritual blindness to those who would deny him and leads to spiritual decay and also spiritual death. So he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And now for me to understand that, I've got to understand, number one, who is the Spirit? It's not just any spirit. Man has a spirit, but he's not talking about that. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about, many refer to, maybe even as the Holy Ghost. The Scriptures declare, hear me, the Scriptures declare that he is God as much so as God the Son and God the Holy Spirit is. I mean, God the Father is. He's equal, co-equal to them. And in Psalm 139, verse 7, he's omnipresent. He says, whether shall I go from thy spirit or flee from thy presence? When you talk about the presence of God, the Holy Spirit is going to be everywhere he's at. When you talk about, again, he said in Job chapter 26, verse 13 and 14, he has the power to create. His description of some of the creation is he garnished the heavens, talking about the Spirit of God doing that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul said this, now the Lord is that Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit of God. When you look in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, he says this, that he teaches us, and we go and present the gospel to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit is equal to God the Father and the Son there, so that simply says he's God as much so as they're God. And it's amazing to understand that, even though we can't understand in his fullness, we don't understand enough to know that it's true. He is God, and all three act as one. No one ever second-guessed the other, and they always work in harmony with each other. So, He is the unseen deity present now in life in our midst. The deity of the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, has been neglected in a lot of churches today, or at least misrepresented him, because you don't see what the Scripture says about who he is and what he's doing. But there's another thing presented that he's working to get us somewhere or another that in turn most of the time would take us away from God if he'd do that. Like get rich, get help, get things like that, self-help things you give a dollar and get 100 back, things like that. Now, God does teach us that we can't outgive him, and he blesses those who give. But you don't bargain with God, try to buy something from him. You either obey him, and he'll pour out his blessings on us, or disobey him, and we'll find out. Even as a child of God, he can sometimes cause us to feel uneasy in a lot of places in life. So the deity of the Holy Spirit has been neglected in a lot of churches, and many of them operate without depending on the Holy Spirit. Or if they do say they are, they misrepresent him. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible teaches us, if you look with me in Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible teaches us that he can be grieved. Now, isn't it amazing? Who could ever thought that we could grieve such a one as powerful as the Holy Spirit? But the Bible teaches us he can be grieved. In verse 30 of chapter 4, he said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Two things there. He has the power to seal us when we're saved, and he says for us not why we are saved to grieve him in this life. And he gives some reasons how that can be done. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and all evil speaking be put away, he says, from you and with all malice. So here we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Wonder why? Because he loves. You can't grieve someone that doesn't love. When you love someone, then they can be grieved. But when a person has a heart to love, they can be grieved. You take a boy, he's arrested for a terrible crime. You read about it in the paper. Maybe it happened here in this state or to another county, another state, maybe somewhere else. You read about that, and you find somehow or another, you might feel sorry for him. You might have a little pity for him, but it doesn't bother you much because it's just something you read about. You don't know the person. You know what he did other than what said when you read about it. So it's not a really emotional thing that causes you to react in any way. But I'll tell you this, if it was your boy, you would. You know why? Because you love him. And when you love someone, you have a tendency to grieve over that person. You may say, well, I love that person, not like you love your own, though. Amen? And so you'll find a lot of times that this is an area where the Holy Spirit loves us. And because He loves us in this area, we're told not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So we must be able to do that. When He wrote to these churches, I wonder sometimes He won't a little bit grieve, because you get to have Ephesus and a few of those churches, and especially Laodicea and Age, He's got to be grieved with our day of the church because of what's going on. He already been with us the trip from Genesis 10 and 11 all the way to Revelation 17 for the last year and a half. And we know what God says about the harlot church. And we're living in the age where the harlot church is coming to the surface today more than ever. And yet the harlot church is not just a false church in the sense that you know, it's don't bring deception anyway. The harlot church is so near like the true church of God that they say something, but they don't live what they say. And you see that in the book of Revelation, as you look at that harlot church being destroyed midway of the tribulation period in the book of Revelation. And so we cannot be all that we ought to be for God without the input of the Holy Spirit of God. We are not to grieve Him. Say, how we do that, preacher, when there's times we insult Him by disobeying Him, when we ignore Him, when He's trying to get our attention, when we're resisting Him, doubting Him, this takes Him, or maybe just take Him somewhere He should not go. You say, well, preacher, why is that? Because you may go somewhere you ought not to go. And if you're saved, you may say, well, it don't bother me. But if God says it's against it, it means you just don't know it, or I don't know it, and therefore I shall not take Him. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to come to and say, you know what, I can't go in there, or I can't do that particular thing. I think I leave until you come back out. He don't work that way. You either have Him or you don't have Him. If you don't have Him, you need to be saved. If you do have Him, then we have a responsibility before God Almighty. And that's what He said. Again, when we talk about he that heareth hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And ladies and gentlemen, when God's word is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit reinforces that in our heart to know whether it's of God or not of God, if we want to know. And one of the amazing things in our day, we have, as our brother talked about in the foreign land, that a lot of places they don't have the word of God. I don't know too many people in this country don't have the word of God. If they don't, they can get it. And every saved person can get a copy of this book to follow up on to see if someone teaches the truth or not the truth. By the way, you need to be like the Bereans were in the book of Acts. You need to search to see if it is the truth. And that's what he said about them. And that way, you and I will not be deceived as much. We don't know at all and can be deceived about a few things. We won't be deceived as much if we let the Holy Spirit teach us what someone else has taught us, because we got along with God and said, Lord, I didn't understand all that preacher said today, or that person, that Sunday school teacher said today, but I understand where the Scripture's at, and I want to approach those Scriptures that I can understand what you're telling me. You may have something there for me that no one else will need just like I do. And by the way, the Scripture can fit anybody's place in here. No matter where you're at, God has an answer for it. He's got an answer for it. And I thank God when I see that. We cannot be all that we ought to be with God without the input of the Holy Spirit of God. Wonder how many believers live, how many believers' lives have been transformed by the Holy Spirit of God. You know, Paul said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world, Romans chapter 12. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect accepted will of God. And so here, who is he? Who is this Spirit? He is God, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a it, a thing, or a cloud. He's a person. He's just like when it comes to God the Father and the Son, He is a different type of form in the sense as you see Him present Him, but they're still God as He presents Himself to you and I. He is a person. So in the church, I want the presence of God, and when I have Him, I'll have the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, He can live in my heart, and he does live in our heart for saved, but there's a lot of times He comes in the midst of us too. And I don't know, there have been times I know when I walk in a door to church somewhere or another that God's in my heart. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes when I get in that church and get up in the singing and a good song service and a man begins to preach the Word of God, suddenly the Spirit of God will move over that place. He's in us, but He'll move over that place. And when He does, I'm going to tell you, things are going to happen. And it's going to be real. It's not going to be fake. You don't have, it isn't that somehow or another have an atmosphere to kind of bring up that which looks like the Holy Spirit of God. If you ever see Him move in like He does, He'll bring something to you. In fact, you'll probably start crying before you start shouting. I remember Carl Woodbury talking years ago, started church in Grace Baptist Church. Man alive, that's how God left me from where I was at and led me down the lane for fundamentalism. It's because of that. That's the first time I'd been in church for years, at least 3 years. And I'd been intent to see nothing like that. And he got W.C. Brad that was preaching out of, from Danville, Virginia that night. And that's a testimony you hear me talk. Many have told me tell that. But he preached that night. And I'm going to tell you what's the truth. He preached from the Old Testament. And as he preached the message that night, all of a sudden, people began to cry from the back. I mean, they ran, people in the back pew, not the front pew, it was the back pew. And they began to run down to the altar, and he had to stop the service that night, for they fell on the altar. They were Methodists, never been saved. They said that themselves. And they fell on the altar again to cry for God to save their soul. And suddenly the service just stopped, and everybody started dealing with people that night. I never seen that in my life anywhere I've been. But I ain't seen it lately either like that. Most time you have to prime the pump at the end to get someone to walk the aisle. You see, when the Holy Spirit really, we've got so many things that replace the Holy Spirit today, many times people don't know when he's talking to them. Most of the time Satan has said, the only thing that preacher has done is try to get at you today. Didn't you see him point your finger at him? Didn't you see him point your finger at you? He's heard something about you, and so he replaces it. See, you say, what's the difference today and those days? Those days, the Holy Spirit was strong enough, they didn't have a lot to compare it to. Nowadays, you've got everything to compare it to. I mean, you hear more this week about what God is doing than what you hear in an hour or so on Sunday morning. Most of the time, it won't be what you hear on Sunday morning because people are building their kingdom rather than building the church for the Lord Jesus Christ. So here, the Holy Spirit is a person. He is he's not just an enthusiasm or one that gives courage, though he gives these things. He's not energy. He's not a spooky cloud. He has a will. He has an intelligence. He himself can hear, act, talk. He has knowledge. He shows sympathy. He shows love. Therefore, he can be grieved. He can also think. Why? He's a person. He's an individual. When we get to heaven, the glorified body with those glorified eyes, we're going to see him. As much so as God the Father or the Son. We can't see the one now. Why? Because they're in the spiritual world. We have a handicap. We have a flesh veil hanging to some degree. We can't see into that wonderful world, which I believe is much bigger than this world. I believe it is. As a matter of fact, the spiritual world is going to have, it's going to be much greater than this world. And you heard me give that illustration about the new birth from a mother's womb coming to this world. This world is certainly greater than a mother's womb. Well, you can find out that the new birth in Christ, this world is kind of our womb and developing until God gets us home on the other side. That world is going to be a lot greater than this world is here. So you can grieve him, ignore him, you can quench him, you can turn from him, you can turn him off, but we need to be careful what we do with the information he gives us about Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the one who is his main topic, and John 14:6 shows us that in the scriptures. So now I want to do is to know the presence of God. I want all that God has for me biblically. But I don't want to get on something I misunderstood and try to claim something that's not even rightfully mine when God has something else to do in this life. I want to have him for me. I don't want just an atmosphere of religious like with a little club-like rounded atmosphere that's going to be a little bit of Christianity thrown in flavor. A lot of things are that way today. We need to have it like it is. And that's what the Bible is, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the reason you see sometimes in our country, we've come to the place so much now, we'd rather sit at home, look at television, go to church when I say as human beings. And I guarantee you there's more sit at home today than has come to church across America, though there'll be a lot of churches feel. And many times where they go to, it'll be something other than the reality of God's Word. I believe that this is just what Jesus is talking about in Revelation chapter 13 when he talks about the church at Laodicea. Or in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Turn there with me, if you please. I want you to look at something. In verse 15, Jesus said this, and the Holy Spirit gives record. He says to the church at Laodicea, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Isn't that interesting? I know thy works, that are neither cold nor hot. He said this, though. He said, I would that thou were cold or hot. I wonder why he'd say that. Well, one reason is this. I don't love anything hot unless it be tea or coffee. And I don't love tea unless I put some ice in it. Amen? What did he say about that which is cold? Because you can tell something's cold, isn't it? You can tell something's hot. But that in between lukewarmness is not even good to drink, because it makes you feel sick, doesn't it? And then God would give us an illustration. He said, I'd rather you be cold or hot. If you're cold, don't know anything, at least people can know it. If you're hot and doing something, people know that. But when you're lukewarm, no one can tell whether you're cold or hot. And he gives analysis of that. And he said, so then, because they are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, he said, I'll spew them out of my mouth. And ladies and gentlemen, we're right before the Lord's coming back. We're right in the Laodicean age. And we're right to the point that God's going to show a lot of folks in this world one day that what they're doing is not lined up with the Holy Ghost and God in this life. And I believe that's one of the reasons the Lord is moving much. He's moving this air, and thank God for those who have been saved. But you're seeing a whole lot more saved on the foreign fields today than you are here. And it's got to be somehow or another. They're listening. They're listening to what God has to say. And masses of people coming. Had a brother tell me not too long ago that if I'd go with him to a certain place, he said, I guarantee you, if ever you preach so much, you'll get tired and want to come home. Because there's so many people. He said, they won't go and look at a watch when they get about 5 minutes later. They'll sit there for an hour and ask you, and then another hour, and ask you to stay another hour, if you will, because they've not heard what you and I have the privilege to hear over and over. We've heard it so much we couldn't dull to it. Thank you, Brother Ennis. Amen. You know I'm telling you the truth, folks. You know good and well this is the age we're living in. It's the last age. It's the end of the age, and we're looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to not honor the Holy Spirit brings unspiritual, anti-God teachings into the church. The church started out years ago with just a simple portion of the Scriptures. And then one day we got the Bible. And they had a song. And I guess for many years, all the thing the church had was the Word of God and a songbook. And people would come together and sing those songs of Zion and preach the Word of God be preached. And they'd feel the pressure and the Holy Spirit conviction and blessing. And they'd leave, saying it's been good to be in the house of God. Ladies and gentlemen, but we find in our particular day that there's something else happening. The church today has a truckload of equipment to keep one happy. And they come and they don't even look happy. We've got, hey, if I could see what God could see this morning, you know I love you. If I could see what God sees in everyone here today and other churches this time, you'd be surprised how heavy people's hearts are. And only God can tell it. You know, I don't know what the situation, everything may be different. But there's something about it that we don't even show on the countenance of our face what we have, as great as the Holy Spirit is living in our heart today. There must be some type of cover, hadn't it? What are we supposed to do? Be the candle that's on a hill. We're to be the salt that preserves rather than looking at someone and say, well, I don't want that salt. He's lost his savor or lost his flavor or whatever you want to put it. You know what? When we look at this book, we're looking at the looking glass of ourselves. You know that? Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever run into yourself? Has anyone ever run into yourself? Have you ever seen yourself like you really are? I'll tell you what, you run yourself once in a while and you won't like what you see if you let God show us. That's the reason we need the almighty grace of God. That's the reason we need Him. But I'm glad to say that when I run into myself, I can say that, thank God, I'm still a child of God. And God lets me run into myself once in a while so I can see myself scripturally. By the way, this book will let you run into yourself and show us who we really are. And so here, the church, we need the presence of God. These things have come necessary as far as the truckload of people today. And many times when you use the gadgets, the Holy Spirit can be left out. We must not forget that we are more than matter. We're also spiritual. The Holy Spirit is not matter. Matter, listen, possesses weight and color and form and extends into space. The Holy Spirit is not material. And yet He can materialize Himself if He wanted to. Jesus did. He's not material, though. He doesn't have weight. He can penetrate your body and my body without even hurting you and I. Do you know that? 2 Corinthians, Paul said this in chapter 2, 2 Corinthians. And he made this particular statement. Well, 1 Corinthians. He made this statement. And what an amazing statement about you and I. He tells us how we are and how we were born. He says this in verse 11, for that For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? And we got the spirit of man when we were born physically. We have his spirit then. It's depraved. It has nothing about God. But then he says to you and I who've been saved, but he says in verse 11, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we, Paul says, we have received not the spirit of the world. We already had that. We were born to go that way. But now in the new birth he's putting forth here, he says, but no, we don't receive the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us to God. Isn't it amazing? He said, God says he's given us his spirit that you and I might know the things that God has freely given you and I. Isn't that amazing? But you know what? The freely won't come to you unless you get in this book. It don't just, you say, well, I think God don't accept this. No, God accepts what he tells us he will accept in his book. And so he said, he that has an ear, let it hear what the Spirit says into the churches. And so the Holy Spirit can penetrate you and I, and he does when we're saved. Aren't you glad that nothing can keep the Holy Spirit from coming in if you trust Christ as Savior? And if you really get trusted, nothing can take him out if you get it saved. We're in the world today, though, salvation is fickle to a lot of folks. It's not a birth, it's a change. I've just changed this and that the other. You start trying to change it, like I used to tell my dad before you got saved, you try to change your life and you'll change it back, just like you changed from it. If you change it yourself, you'll be changing a lot. But when the Holy Spirit comes in and changes you, he gives you a new direction. He gives you a new life. Even our glorified bodies are made of different material than fleshly bodies. Yet they can reflect light. Jesus appeared in the room in John chapter 20, verse 19. Remember that on that first Sunday morning, after his Sunday night after his resurrection? Though these spiritual bodies are a different type of substance. That always amazes me. He says that he appeared. They were there, afraid, had the door shut, and he appeared. He didn't go through an open physical door. He appeared. Now, when you appear, you got to go through something. Somehow or another, no wall, no door could keep him out by being shut. And he appeared right in the midst of those disciples. And Thomas missed it all, but the next Sunday he got it right. So sometimes, we miss the house of God, we miss something, but then sometimes we're there when God is really talking to our heart and our life. So before Jesus left to go back to the Father, he promised someone who would be coming that he would give the authority and the ability to make Jesus Christ real to those who would believe on him, who would receive him. John 14, 6. Turn there quick. I'm going to read that, and then we'll let you go eat. I bet that's the only thing some of you remember. He said, I remember when he said, let us go eat. I remember that. Look with me, if you will, in John chapter 14. I love this because John has given us some good insight. If you look in John chapter 14 and look down about verse, look with me in 14 about verse 16 first of all. Here's what Jesus said, I'll pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you. Watch the word, forever. Aren't you glad of that? I'll take his word over anybody else. He said, even the Spirit of truth, tells a little bit about him in verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Now why? If you and I can receive him, why can't the world receive him? Well, you notice he gives us a good illustration here, because it seeth him not. Now let me tell you, how are you going to see Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life? By the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Through the gospel that's proclaimed that draws you to the Lamb of God. When that gospel is proclaimed like it should be, the Holy Spirit's job is to draw that person who hears. He may not understand, or she may not understand all that's going on, but the Holy Spirit is trying to get them to see that Jesus Christ is real and he's Savior. And he goes on. He said the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Neither knoweth him, but ye, watch this, ye know him. Aren't you glad of that? John said, these things are written, 1 John 5, that you may know that you have eternal life. And here all through the scriptures, he said the same thing. Know him. Why? For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Somebody said, well, I got saved, but I don't know if I ever got the Holy Spirit of God. Well, if you've been saved any period of time and don't think you got the Holy Spirit, you need to go back and read up on him. Because it may be that you didn't get saved. God says he gives us his Holy Spirit. And we go on and we see, he said in verse 20, and at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He said, when he comes and he comes in you, you're going to know that I'm in the Father, and he in me, and I'm in you. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit, see what God teaches? Holy Spirit lives in us, and he lets us know Christ lives in us by the Holy Spirit. If you look down in verse 25, he said, these things have I spoken of you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, now he's coming back. He said the Spirit of truth was the Comforter, but now he tells us the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He tells exactly who it is. Which the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. And then on an apostle, which you heard said many times, said in this book, this is the inspired by God, this is God's word. You may have read something a number of times, not see it, and all of a sudden, 4 years later, be reading it again, and God bring to your remembrance. He's doing the same thing to us as he said about the apostle. You remember some things that Jesus said in those 3.5 years, and you'll understand them at that particular time. There's a lot of things that I could have understood years ago. I thought once I understood it, for some reason God didn't let me understand it until I got where I could understand it. And it'd be something else in there to help me along the way when that happens. And then, of course, over in chapter 16, he also tells us, as you look down about 13, he said, how be it now? Watch this. He's going to tell us what the Holy Spirit's going to be doing. Ladies and gentlemen, he said, how be it? When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth. For he, the Holy Spirit, will not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He that hath to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Watch. In verse 14, he said, now notice, how about it? The Spirit of truth, when he's come, he'll guide you in all things. Watch, verse 14. He shall glorify me. Who is that? Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit living in you in us is going to glorify Jesus Christ. That's the first priority that I have. And to glorify him, how is that? Just to praise him, that's a good way. But one way to glorify him is to tell someone else about Jesus Christ. Amen. Give the gospel to someone in a loving way, and then pray. If that person rejects it, fine. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I can't save them to start with. But I'll tell you this, if you give them the word of God from the scriptures, when you walk away and they won't receive, they won't be left by themselves. The Holy Spirit's still going to use that word until they get it completely out of their mind to draw them to the Lamb of God. And so he goes on and he said, how be it? Now he said, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive the mind and shall show it unto you. What's this? All things that the Father are of mine, therefore I say he shall take of mine and show it to you. Jesus said, what the Holy Spirit's going to do, not only bear witness to your heart and cry, Abba, Father, that you're saved, but the Holy Spirit's going to take what is said about Jesus Christ, and as you study it, he'll help us put it together systematically to understand exactly what God is doing through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing. You know, one person could sit over here at this piano, just sit there and they can't play a bit. Another person can go over there and tickle the ivory and make you wish you could do that. What makes the difference? The ability and probably studying and practice. But when you think about Jesus, what we talk about Christ, one has the ability for that piano, the other does not. One maybe had a little ability and worked at it and became better. What God has given us, that the Holy Spirit has the authority from God and the ability to teach us to use our abilities if we're available. What we can do. And it's an amazing thing. He can take every one of us together collectively in a local assembly to do the work of God and reach around the world with it. It's amazing. You and I couldn't do that ourselves. I'll tell you. You could take the same way with a violin. I can't play a violin at all, but I'll sit down at a piano. I can't play a trumpet. Jordan, I've been talking to Jordan. He's going to teach me to play trumpet one day. And accordion, man, I just love to mess with that. The ability, one of the reasons is because whatever ability I have exercised in certain fields more than other fields. And by the things, here's the thing about this, though, the Holy Spirit living in you, he'll bring to surface something you can do and give you the authority and the ability to do it. You heard me say many times, I'll be honest with you, folks, when I got saved, I never thought I'd be here. I never thought I'd be here. I knew what I wanted to do, and I tried out doing it. But I couldn't do it. I know now where God brought me through the years. He'll take exactly you. You can't say, well, you know, Lord, I'm going to trust you, and I want you to send me here, and I'm going to do. No, you say, Lord, I trust you, and I submit to whatever you want me to do. My life is your life. And so God has his people only the ability, gives his people only the ability to use his authority as an ambassador of Christ here in this life after we're saved. What do you do in God's name after you're saved? He gives us the ability, he gives us the power, and he gives us the directions in our life. We may not have seen the wind. We may not have seen the fire and the appearance of tongues like in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, but we must be filled with that same Holy Spirit to live right in this old world to make Jesus Christ real to the people in this world. So they'll say he's got something, she's got something I don't have. So the Holy Spirit helps to set us apart for God's glory. And ladies and gentlemen, we desperately need a divine visitation of God's Spirit in our churches today. Every church in this nation needs that today. One of the factors is of the end of the age, as Paul tells us in Timothy, is the fact that of coldness and the things that he lists that how we are, selfishness and things like that in this particular age. May God help us all to respond to the Holy Spirit. For to do so, ladies and gentlemen, will make us better servants to God. And I believe seven times, as Paul has said that, or as the Holy Spirit said this, as John wrote this in the book of Revelation, he says again, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And ladies and gentlemen, that hearing starts with, do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? If not, you've heard the gospel. What is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Go read 1 Corinthians 15, the first few verses. He tells us precisely what the gospel is. It's that good news that we have been born in this world we're in two. We're headed for devil's hell with the old nature of man, and we need a new birth to be brought into the family of God to go live with him forever. The Holy Spirit teaches us that. And then once we get saved until God gets us home, we're in a prenatal period. We're developing from the day we're saved to God gives the final delivery, just like in a mother's womb. A baby is born, is conceived, and growing from a prenatal period until the time she's delivered. Hands are waiting for in this life. Well, when we got saved, we were born into the family of God, and we're in a prenatal period, spiritually growing, somehow or another, it's going to merit something in heaven one day as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord here. And when the rapture takes place, or when we leave the exits of death, and the rapture takes place when it's really official start, but if we leave the exits of death, then everything stops for us, and we just delay until the time he picks it up at the end of this age. Do you know Christ today? Would you stand to your feet, please? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. It's important, ladies and gentlemen. It's important. Our Father, we thank you again today for the Word of God. We thank you, Father, for the privilege now. We pray for these in this auditorium, for those who listen by rail radio, for those who are on the Ustream watching it. Lord, we pray if there's any one of these who do not know Jesus as Savior, let them see. It's the Holy Spirit. We can't do it ourselves. Lord, if it wasn't the Holy Spirit of God, we could say all we want to and not convince a person of nothing. Because our mentality towards the mentality of another person is that it may be the same due to both already in the ditch because of sin. But it's the Holy Spirit of God that God gives us when we're saved, that gives that extra edge, that power, that authority, that ability, if we will, to be able to give the gospel, simple message to the unsaved. They may rebel against it, Lord, but if we get a chance to give it, we don't see them saved then. Could be. There are times when people go and they're planting the seed of God. Others have given the water of God. And then someone else comes along, God gives the increase. Lord, that's where we're a family doing this together, presenting our Savior to a lost and dying world. Honor yourself today in the churches up there, here or here, that someone would come to know the Lord Jesus. And then, dear Father, give your people an understanding, the heart to serve God. I don't think there's a person that ever got saved didn't want a burning desire to serve God, but Satan is a mastermind of quickly getting things in the way to keep us from doing that. And if we don't get in the book and start studying the growing grace and knowledge, we'll find ourselves very weak in the life that we're supposed to be living. Because the Holy Spirit will not work in any way other than from the Word of God he inspired to be written. Honor yourself this morning, we pray, for the glory of God and present Jesus Christ to heart better than I could. I have words, but the words have been given. I trust you, Holy Spirit, to use those words now to grant the understanding that each individual has, either here or radio or Ustream. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.